I have a great memory of my grandfather. He kind of had this, how many of you remember Yosemite Sam from the Looney Tunes? Anybody remember that? Like, and he'd say crazy things, right? My grandfather had that side to him. He'd make a joke, he'd, and then he'd disappear. And he'd be like working in a shop or something. So he kind of had these quirky things. I think grandpas all have that. So if you're a grandpa, you probably have a side like that somewhere. And he'd always say, if I, you know, stained something on my pants or I had dirty hands, he's like, Craig, we're going to need the turpentine. And then I'm like, okay, grandpa, where's the turpentine? I need to fix this. How many of you know what turpentine? Have you heard of turpentine before? So I didn't realize what turpentine was. And I'm messy, so I'm going to need some turpentine. It's paint thinner. You know, it's meant to scrub like deep stains, get paint off of things. And my grandfather never poured turpentine on me, just so we're clear on that this morning. But if I knew I had something messy or dirty immediately because of grandpa, I'd be like, oh, I need some turpentine. Like, this is a big mess. I never used it, but it just always came to me. And so this week I'm thinking, okay, we're going to talk about clean. Jesus cleanses us. What gets stuff clean? Turpentine. So I looked up what is turpentine. I've seen the bottles, I've seen it. And it's, like I said, it's paint thinner, but it's made from a living tree. The resin of a living tree that's wounded. So you cut into it and you drain resin out of a pine tree. And then you have this substance that you can use for cleaning. And I just think that's such an amazing picture today. That the wounds of Jesus, the living Christ, wounded but living, cleansed deeply, healed, they're fragrant. There's a fragrance, right? If you cut into a pine tree, even when you grab the needles and kind of rub them in your fingers, something sticks there and just smells so fragrant and beautiful. Friends, that's like the wounds of Christ that we're talking about today. That the blood of Jesus not just cleanses like turpentine, where it cleanses paint or stains or you wipe walls or whatever with it. But it gets deeper than that. Deeper than, cleaning deeper than turpentine. You see, you and I, humanity, in fact, to make it nice and broad this morning, there's a problem in our souls. It's a deep stain on our souls. And every human being experiences this. Because of the fall of humanity, we're separated from God. Our own proud choices have removed us from his presence. And there's a deep stain. It's a soul level stain. And typically in this world, we can talk about sin with people and they don't really buy into that. They don't want to own that necessarily. But the truth is, every human being tends to live with this condemnation stuck to their souls. And they work and they try and they find the cultural versions of turpentine to scrub that off. But nothing will achieve that for them. Human beings have no innate ability to make ourselves clean. And we try and we try and we try. Because ultimately it's a separation and a staining in our relationship between us and God. And then that works itself out into relationships with other people. And in the culture just starts going. And then we have an enemy who's a spiritual adversary who just fuels this condemnation, fuels this darkness, fuels the sin that we face in our culture around us, tempts us at every turn, it feels like. And so this whole stain that's so deep, we're trying, even in our choices, to make ourselves clean, but we just can't shake it. We need a deeper solution. We need a soul turpentine. And there is an answer. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus the Christ, the holy, perfect one, paying the price, dying a death on a cross, wounded for our transgressions, the things that we've done, the stains that we have. He paid the price for that. And because Jesus lived and he died and he rose again, he broke the power, literally, we sang about it already, of sin and darkness and death. And he's the Lord of power. There's no one higher than him. no other power. And the writer of the book of 1 John knows that. And he wants, because Jesus has lived and died and risen, he wants real people like you and I. He's a pastor at heart. And he wants you to actually, you and I, to actually live in the reality, in the light of that, in the here and now. That Jesus the Christ did that on purpose so that you and I, 2017, can actually live that out together. And that's what we're talking about as we look at this series in 1 John from now till the end of June. And last week we talked about 1 John 1, 1 to 10. And I just want to drill down on a few verses here today as we come to the communion table, as we consider the cross of Jesus. And I would just want to encourage you to take these words from 1 John, even these few verses, think on them, memorize them, stick them to your fridge, you know, make them your screensaver on your phone or whatever, your background. This is an amazing promise. Because Jesus has lived, died, and risen, he's alive right now. John's saying, walk, followers of Jesus, walk in the light as he is in the light. And that will give you fellowship with each other. So you're walking in the light and you're actually going to grow in your relationships with other people as you walk in the light of his light. Because, look at verse 7, and the blood of Jesus. Come on. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness is Jesus Christ. His actual action on a cross, pierced hands, pierced side, pierced feet, crown of thorns, literally dying a death so that you could be cleansed. So that the actual things that you've committed in your life can be cleansed deeper than turpentine. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So John's saying, if you pretend that you're perfect, you're walking in deception. See, it's so subtle. It happens so quickly. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So he wants us to be honest about who we are. That this is really our situation. Even if we're in Christ, we have to keep on being in Christ. So he says, there's a solution. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These words are living and active. He wrote these thousands of years ago. John wrote these down as a pastor to these people in the ancient Near East. But because it's the power of God and it's the work of Jesus, it's alive today. And it's alive when this sermon's over, and it's alive tomorrow. And it's alive every single moment. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is amazing grace. He's so faithful to do that and to do that and to do that and to do that and to do that. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of constancy in my life. That's amazing grace. Friends, we need to come clean to become clean. And I know that's kind of slang, but you know, when you need to fess up, you need to admit, you need to confess, you need to agree with what God is saying about your situation. He wants you to come clean, to become clean. And it's a both and thing. When you give your heart to Jesus, he sets you apart. You admit that you can't do life without him, that he's the Lord, he's paid the price for your sin, and he's living and active in your life. And that's true. When you, that moment of salvation, you cross a line with him. You're set apart for him. But then the rest of our lives from that moment forward, it's not a finish line. Salvation is not a finish line. It's a starting point. Where then from that moment forward, you keep on being set apart for God. You keep on walking in the light. You keep on being cleansed. Last week, we talked about the stinky, you know, festering corner that's in the dark in the furnace room, right? Those are the places that Jesus wants to go. He wants to set that place apart as well. You are set apart for him, but he wants you to keep on being set apart for him now and until we see him face to face. It's a both and. How do we do that? What's some practical ideas on that? How can we come clean to become clean? Well, first of all, it's a confession thing. And what do we confess? Well, imagine for a moment you're sitting here and in the front row and Jesus is here. What would you say to him? More importantly, what would you not want to say to Jesus this morning? Whatever that is, whatever pops into your mind, is exactly what he wants to hear. This is amazing grace. He wants you to fess up, come clean, to confess whatever that is. If you knew he was sitting here and you couldn't go anywhere else, it was just you and him, what wouldn't you want him to know? That's exactly what he wants to set you free from and talk to you about today. I was at a district conference for our pastors here in Alberta, down in Calgary with our team. And yesterday, I was just fighting this battle of envy in my mind. Because I saw other pastors who've been in the ministry for a long time, and they have this accomplishment and this achievement and this, that, and the other thing. And I just had to just say, Jesus, I confess my envy right now. And you know, how do we do that? We just need to process it in our heart, keeping close connections with God. That's how we can confess our sin. As things pop up, give them to him right away. To confess those things, admit those things. You know, I didn't sit at the table at lunch and just, okay, everybody be quiet. I need to confess my sin. Jesus, right? Like, I didn't do that. But just in my mind, in my heart, I'm just giving these things to God. And it can be with one other person, or it can be, you know, with a trusted friend, or somebody on our staff or our elders board. We'd be happy to pray with you about something. But the relational nature of God is that he wants us to admit, to come clean to what's actually going on in our lives. The amazing part, too, is that he's so gracious and kind that often he just, you know, puts his finger on one thing. The truth is, we got layers like an onion. I'm like an onion, right? You got all these layers. But we have all these layers, and he wants to deal with different things and get to the core of who you are and your soul. But he starts slowly and graciously, and he wants you to just start owning and confessing and coming clean to things. And then he wants us to repent. Repentance just means turning. You're going this way, and then you turn from your way, and you go God's way and what he wants. And you can say that, Lord, I repent. I turn away from this, and I go this way. Now, I just want to pause for a second. Sometimes whatever's going over here, you can say in your heart as you're praying, as you're talking to him, I turn my back on that. That's good. But let's drill down a little bit more. And what about some of the patterns in your life and your schedule? If you know that at 7:45 p.m. on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, this happens, guess where you shouldn't be and shouldn't be doing at 7:45 p.m. on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays? Have some accountability. Have somebody be aware of that with you. Share that. Shine some light on that. Bring somebody in that you can trust and get some accountability on. Because repentance is saying, Lord, I turn my back on that. But it's also a willful saying, okay, I know that if I'm on this device at this time by myself, bad idea. This is the trigger. This is where things go. Shine light on those things. Turn by a specific act. Something that's amazing too about what John's saying here is that we actually receive something from God. And that this pattern of life is actually like an exchange program. That the holy God of the universe actually wants you to give him the garbage that's in your heart and in your soul, and he's actually going to pour gold, like not literal gold, where, hey, there's gold nuggets falling into my life. That's not what I'm saying. But it's like garbage for gold, where you give him your junk and he actually pours the holy grace, love, mercy, faith, and hope and light of God into your soul. You give him the garbage and he pours out the greatness. And you actually become, as you give that up, you actually become free to receive that from him. That's amazing. And he's always saying, he's always available for that exchange program every single second. Who has the patience for that? He does. Who has the power for that? He does. Who never gets sick of your junk? He never gets sick of it because he wants to free you and he wants to pour his life into your life. And so we have to participate by saying, I got garbage, here it is. That's amazing grace. Because he wants you to run free in a confessional lifestyle. I know that's a mouthful. But John's using his metaphors. He's got light and then he's got cleansing. But because Jesus has died and risen again and he's the real living Christ that's active right here, right now, he actually wants you to run free with him. And the New Testament writer says, throw off the sin that so easily entangles you and run, pursue him. That's my paraphrase. But run free. As it entangles, admit it to him and then run free. Throw it off. Throw it off and keep running, keep running, keep running. How do we do that? We confess these things to him. A confessional lifestyle. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a now thing and it's an ongoing thing. And so, all of that to say, I want all of us to be in a position to happily take communion today. I wish we could just bust out a huge feast to better represent the banquet table of the King, Jesus Christ. But even when we take our little bitty bread and our little bit of cup, right? As you take that, realize that Jesus is pouring his life. As you give him your junk, he's pouring his life and his grace. He's actually cleansing. As you admit those things to him, greater than the turpentine that Grandpa used to talk about, he's pouring his life and his cleansing into the very depths of your soul. But we have to participate. We have to take an active place. He's pointing to things today, and he wants you to just quietly confess those to him and then for you to receive his life and his love and his life and his light and his cleansing today. And so I want you to happily take communion today. And we can do that because we own up. We come clean about what's going on in our hearts. And so the music team's going to come, and I'm just going to pray for us. You know, what is God putting his finger on today in your soul? You don't have to say it out loud. Just offer that one thing. I'm a pretty simple guy, and so in the first service, I just had this sense of envy. So envy kind of felt like it was here, and so I'm like, Lord, I give you envy. And I just had a sense that he wanted me to receive gratitude. Gratitude. What do you need to just whisper in your heart today and give to him and then be open-handed to receive from him today? So let's take a moment of quiet prayer. Whisper those things to him in your heart. And I'll pray for us and then we'll take the bread and the cup together. Let's pray. Jesus, I stand amazed today in your presence that you eagerly want to take our junk from us because you've paid the price already. And that you want to set us free and then pour your life into us. Pour your cleansing, Lord. Literally Wipe those stains off of our souls, Lord. Free us from condemnation. Free us from things that so easily ensnare us and tangle us up and like chains, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you just want to break the power of those things, because it's already broken, and we just have to come into the light, and then you set us free. And so, God, I just pray that you'd work that in each and every heart here this morning. We exchange this, Lord, and we offer this garbage up to you. And we receive your love and your life into the depths of our souls today. Jesus, I pray that as we take the bread and the cup now, that we would just experience the reception of your grace into our souls and the cleansing power of your blood and your broken body for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this amazing grace, Lord. We're unworthy, but you're totally worthy. And we thank you and adore you, praise you. And we receive these gifts from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.